Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mobile hunters, if you're interested in upping your mobile game, then head to tetherednation.com and check out their saddle gear. There are a few things that you can buy that will actually help you become a better deer hunter or give you the freedom to hunt any tree or any situation. This reason is why I started saddle hunting in the first place and why I use Tethered's gear. I can honestly say that Tethered's saddle gear has changed how I hunt for the better. Big tree, little tree, from the ground, it doesn't matter. I'm untethered by my gear to hunt the best setup for the situation instead of hunting for a tree that my gear can use. My current core setup consists of the Phantom Saddle, Tethered One Sticks, and the Predator platform, and along with an assortment of their accessories. So if you want to up your mobile game, head over to tetherednation.com. If you're like me, you spend a lot of time poring over maps, looking at weather data, all in an effort to help predict when and where my best times are to hunt. It'd be nice if there was a reliable source with all this information in one place. Enter the Spartan Forge app. Unlike some other predictive apps on the market, Spartan Forge was created from military combat intelligence experience tailored for hunters and stands at the nexus of machine learning and whitetail deer hunting. No more man-made algorithms. This is a predictive model based on real GPS collared deer data, historical and predictive weather, and the next level of mapping imagery. All at my fingertips. I've had an opportunity to use the desktop version of Spartan Forge last year and recently the beta version of the iOS app, and it has replaced all of my other mapping tools. Head over to SpartanForgeAI.com to sign up today to get your place in line as the mobile app launches soon. This podcast is brought to you by Skull Brew Coffee Company. Skull Brew Coffee roasts premium single origin coffee guaranteed to deliver the freshest coffee directly to your doorstep. The kicker? They're 2% for conservation certified and donate 10% of their proceeds back to organizations who support the interests of our hunting community. So go to skullbrewcoffee.com and pick up one of their 3 killer roasts and fuel your hunt and fill more tags with Skull Brew Coffee. Welcome to the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Skull Brew Coffee Company. I'm your host, Clint Campbell, and you're listening to episode number 249. Today, my buddy Aaron and I are wrapping up a quick scout and a trail camera pull on a new piece of Big Woods public land, so stay tuned. What is up, everyone? Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope you are feeling fine. I'm going to guess there's a lot of folks out there feeling a lot better than they had, considering deer season has pretty much opened everywhere. Pennsylvania is opening here on the 2nd. So, you know, as you're listening to this, if you're from PA, just hold on for a couple more days, man, it's coming. But, you know, I've actually had a jump on the season here. I think I've mentioned in the past, you know, I live in a special regs unit, so I've been able to get out the past, you know, 2 weeks. I think I've gotten 4 hunts in the past week. You know, I can hunt this week. I'm going to try to get out maybe Wednesday or Thursday, depending on the weather, because I'm going to be making a trip to a new area, hopping in the DIY trailer and heading out for a couple days over the course of the weekend. But this past week was able to get out a couple times, and really I treat these early weeks, you know, that I get as almost like bonus weeks, where, you know, I'll do a lot of hopping around new areas that I've not ever hunted before. Maybe I found something while I was scouting this past year and I hung a camera and, you know, I have some deer activity, but maybe no bucks really. And so I might just go in and throw a hunt at it and see what happens. You know, do I see deer? Do I not see deer? Gives me an opportunity to potentially check that camera as well to continue to gain more intel. And that's basically what I did this past week, was just a lot of kind of low impact, nothing that was going to hurt areas that I kind of knew or that I have more information about that might get a little bit better as we get a little further into October. And that's what I did actually Saturday morning. I slipped into this one area that I hung a camera. It's probably the last place that I hung a camera. I actually had a cell camera in there, and a good buck, you know, showed up on camera, I guess a week or so ago. And he's been through a couple different times, super late though. So it's not like I'm close to his bed or anything like that, but there's doe bedding around there, which is why I think this spot is going to be a pretty decent spot when it comes to rut. It's a pinch. I think I mentioned last week's podcast, when I was kind of detailing this little pinch near some, you know, near this like swampy area. There's like this ditch that runs through that's kind of pushing and funneling deer all into kind of one spot. And so that's a perfect kind of example of a place where it's, you know, I'm not exactly sure what wind I need 100% because I don't have enough info on how they're exactly using the area. I kind of think I know where the bedding opportunities are at and stuff like that, but it's a place that I'll just kind of go throw a hunt at it. And if I choose the wrong wind, you know, then I know better for the next time. And that's kind of what I did for this situation. You know, it's just, I didn't have a terrible wind, but the wind that I had was going to be blowing back towards their beds, and I was hunting their movement in the morning. It was really just trying to kill a doe, to be honest, you know, put some meat in the freezer. And there's been does kind of filtering through there, you know, on any type of kind of westerly wind is what I had kind of started to see with the intel that I did have, that they would try to kind of trickle through there. Sometime in the morning, usually by like 8:30, like that would be around the witching hour, if you will. If they hadn't come through by then, like it probably wasn't going to happen, because it wasn't the only way they could get through. They could kind of circle back behind me, you know, and come in a different way potentially, or they might be coming from the completely opposite direction, depending on where they were feeding and what the wind was like the previous night, essentially. So I slipped in super quiet, was able to kind of kayak in close by, and, it's super swampy and thick in this area, and got to the tree, got set up, and just kind of waited and didn't see anything, right? But the one thing that I learned was, you know, I did have that westerly wind that I thought I would have, and the wind was blowing back towards where I assumed the beds were at, or where the bedding area that I'd found in the spring. And I knew that I'd basically have the morning to hunt, and then if they didn't show by like 8:30, 9:30, something like that, I probably need to get out of there before I started boogering stuff up. But I got a little bit of a reprieve. As you know, a lot of you guys probably know, it's like when you're hunting close to stagnant water, swampy areas and stuff like that, you know, that water is typically going to hold, you know, warmth, especially this time of year, whenever we had a little bit of a cold snap. So it was about 50 degrees when I got into the tree. And I want to say it was maybe like 49, 48, like overnight or something like that was the low. And that body of water has been, you know, pretty warm like that, you know, especially when you're talking about swamps and stuff like that, when it's smaller pieces of water and stuff, it's going to hold heat a little bit longer potentially. And so you're actually going to get a little bit of a thermal effect that's going to draw, you know, your thermal out, you know, toward the water, toward wherever that standing water is. And so I was getting a little help from that actually. And I wasn't exactly sure how much help I was going to get from that, which is why I was a little bit lukewarm about hunting this spot. And when I got into the tree, man, I was getting a lot more, south in that wind than I would have anticipated. And it wasn't that I was getting a prevailing. There was no south in the prevailing. It was just the thermal pulling my westerly prevailing wind just a little further toward the north, which would give me a feeling of having a little bit more south in the wind than in the prevailing than there actually was. And so what that kind of taught me was like, I need to kind of, especially early season in that particular area, I need to account for that, which means I can probably cheat the wind in that spot a little bit more than I had anticipated. And that's one of those things where it's like I throw hunts at some of these places to get an understanding of what my wind is going to do in these areas, especially if I'm going to be in and around water, because, you know, if you've never hunted it before, you just don't know exactly what type of effect that's going to have. So that was the big learning for this year. The bummer, the kick in the pants was I do have a cell camera in the general area kind of further back, you know, essentially their line of travel that they would use to kind of get to where I was at. And, you know, it wasn't shortly after I got out of the tree and kind of boogied on out of there, there was a group of does that looked to be heading in my direction. So I missed out on that opportunity. And then where I was potentially planning to set up in the morning, I had two places I kind of picked. Of course there were some deer that traveled through there when I checked the trail camera at like 7 o'clock, and, you know, probably would have either place. If I would have stayed long enough, the one would have happened. If I would have hunted the other spot that I was potentially planted on hunting, probably would have got an opportunity, but that's bow hunting. And then the evening hunt, you know, I saw more people than I did deer. So we'll just leave that at that. But, going to jump into today's show, man, have a cool show for you guys today. As you guys know, I've been working on a new piece of Big Woods Public that I've been kind of trucking and trekking through. My buddy Aaron, has been with me for a lot of this. We've hung trail cameras together and scouted together and stuff like that. And this session, he and I went up and did a card pool, did a camera pool, and had, you know, probably one of the best camera pools I've ever honestly had in Pennsylvania. And we kind of go through the details of that and kind of what we expect to see here this upcoming season. And I'll be headed there this weekend to hopefully capitalize on a little bit of early season movement that I've been seeing. But before we do that, just a quick reminder, be sure to head over to skullbrewcoffee.com. If you're planning any travel hunts, head over to skullbrewcoffee.com. Pick up some of the pour over travel packs. Don't drink shitty coffee on your travel hunts. Promo code TFTS21 will save you some cash. Then also head over to truthfromthestand.com. Go to the merch tab. Pick yourself some merch up, or you can go to my Instagram handle, the Truth From The Stand Instagram handle, and hit the shop button. Got sweatshirts, t-shirts, coffee mugs, a bunch of tchotchkes and stuff like that. If you're interested in picking up some merch, you can also use the promo code TFTS21 to save yourself some cash. So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. And as always, thank you all for listening. All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the Truth From The Stand Deer Hunting Podcast. We are coming to you live on location from Livonia.
Livonia.
Livonia. And for those of you out there that don't know what Livonia is,
it's where we're at.
It's where we're at. Look it up. hanging out with my good buddy, Aaron Hepler. We're out doing a little bit of scouting today. Actually, I wouldn't call it scouting, would you? Well, we did a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, like an hour and a half, or
yeah, it was scouting light. It was really an area we've been kind of working together with another buddy of ours. It had been a few months; one camera hadn't been checked since
at all. Yeah,
I don't even know when I hung that one. That one was probably the same time I hung the other one. Like, probably May at some point. Because there was one that I actually hung in April. That was the one that had been out the longest.
Yep.
And I made one other trip back, and hung another couple cameras, and there was one that hadn't been checked at all, which was that one.
Yep.
And then the rest of them really hadn't been looked at since sometime in early July, you know. And this is a little late in the game for me, at least. I usually like to have most of my stuff done by now, you know. I like to give everything kind of a month, but I don't plan to be back to the area until sometime mid-October. But we spent a good solid day. I think we got started around 8:30 this morning to pull cameras, and we wrapped it up probably like right around 4:30-ish or so.
Right around.
Yeah. And I don't know, how many cameras did we check?
Well, we checked the three that I had up over there, and
the one that I had over there, and then I hung another one to replace the one that had died.
Yeah.
So that's what, five?
Five, and then two over at the other.
In the other area. Yeah,
Livonia Jr.
Livonia Jr. Yeah, so good day, man.
Real good day.
Yeah, I gotta say, you know, well, let me get your perspective on the day first, and then I'll give mine. So what are you thinking?
I love the first camera we checked. Is, I mean, we both can obviously say that was surprising, but not surprising. Like, mm-hmm. we kind of expect something like to be on a camera like that one, but extra surprising. Mm-hmm. We were super stoked about that. And I mean, overall, it's just a great time to get some of this time in with a buddy, and B, we're really happy with what we found on the cameras today. So
yeah. And we couldn't ask for better weather too.
No, it's perfect.
Mid-60s
all day.
Yeah. Mid-60s all day. I brought the camper out last night and stayed the evening at a campsite. Just because I like to stay in the camper as often as possible. I spent enough time building this thing, so I should get some use out of it.
Yep.
But beautiful weather. You know, couldn't ask for a better day to go out and check some cameras and stuff. It was warm enough to where you got a little sweat rolling once in a while, but nice enough.
No bugs.
And there was a nice little breeze, so it didn't have a lot of bugs, even, you know, in the areas where it was getting a little steamy when you were in kind of a middle of like a lot of foliage or a cut or whatever the case was. But I would agree with you, man. You know, that one camera, to your point, you know, wasn't surprising. I don't know how to qualify it. Like, I was surprised maybe of the top end of the caliber of the deer that were on it. Like, agreed. We knew there were good deer in the area because we had a camera that wasn't too far away on the opposite side across this water, mm-hmm. you know, that we had checked last time that had some really good deer on it that we thought had a lot of potential, you know? And those were images from end of June, beginning of July.
Correct.
And then this one, again, it's not too far away, but it's not, I mean, it's a it's a piece, you know, it's like for a walk.
They could be in separate worlds from there to there.
And they were, because we didn't get any of the same deer at all on either of those cameras. But I actually have another one that's not too far from that one that we checked today. It's a cell camera. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe one deer was an overlap, was only one.
I'll have to look back at all the stuff.
Yeah. But in looking at it, man, you know, I guess just to give a little description, you know, for the kind of topography and stuff that we're in, you know, it's big woods. You guys have heard me talk about big woods in the past. A lot of the guests on talking about big woods. That's what this is. Really kind of looking, a lot of it is flat because it's kind of on tops, you know? And so late, I guess, in our scouting, and some of these places were just flyers that we took. Actually, both of these cameras, or this camera, one of them specifically we checked today, was really like a last ditch camera that I put out. Mm-hmm. I was getting ready to leave after I'd hiked to the top of this mountain, hung a cell camera because I got signal up there. And then on my way back down, had another camera in my pack and was literally like, oh, man, I should just throw this thing out somewhere just to put it out, you know? And so I ended up putting it in a spot where I was like, there's an area that I hunt in the Midwest, that has a lot of like logging and stuff that goes on. And early when I was hunting that, was finding, you know, with a buddy, a fair amount of success using, areas that would seem really, really obvious, mm-hmm. you know, for lack of a better way to put it, or we'll put it this way, areas that the logging has now created really easy, path of least resistance for deer.
Right.
Right. And I've found that they've been hit and miss. In the area that I live, I would never hang cameras in this area, nor would I ever expect to see deer there.
Yeah.
It seems like around here and in that place that I hunt in the Midwest, because there just aren't nearly as many folks around and stuff like that, and there's just so much more land, that they seem to get used more.
Yeah, they actually use the typical spots that you read about and like, oh, there's a saddle. Oh, don't hunt saddles.
Oh, there's a two-track or whatever. Yeah.
But they actually use them here.
Yeah. And so on a whim, I kind of walked out to the end of this, you know, essentially it was a two-track, you know, and I got to kind of the end where it got so thick that I couldn't really get to it. And I wanted to get to like the edge of the timberline was honestly where I was originally trying to get to hang. Cause I was like, oh, the deer will work this edge, you mm-hmm. know? But I was like, you know, I kind of want to be like almost inside of a cut. I was like, cause I just want to see, you know, and it's the magic of the cut. You know, essentially, right? If you get those ones that are at the right age, you know, in the right areas. And I think there's a lot that goes on. And this one, particularly the way it kind of sets up with like winds and thermals and stuff like that, I think the deer are really kind of able to take advantage of. And I hung a camera there on a whim.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those ones where I was like, I bet there's not going to be anything on it. I'm going to show up in like August or September and it's not going to be squat.
Yeah, or all nighttime or something.
Yeah, and look, if it were all nighttime too, I would have been just as happy because it's like I would know that deer are somewhere in the area. I just got to figure out where they're going to spend time in daylight.
Right.
And so we pull that camera and we start flipping through and it's like, oh, there's a decent buck. I'm like, oh, there's a decent buck. And it was like, okay. It's like, oh, there's a good one. Right. And that one's like 130 inches. Yeah. Right. And
mine, they're still in velvet and end of June, middle of June, those pictures were too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, these were, you know, these ones specifically, it's like they were
early on
and they were sizable, like where they were already reaching a point where you were going, if he was hard horn now, I would shoot him.
Right.
That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So not to kind of drag this camera pull out, but the reality of it was that we had, oh man, the ratio was probably 5 images to 7 images of a buck for every one, maybe 2 images of a doe that we would get.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of images.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. And ended up being 5 shooters on that one camera.
Yep.
Now, granted, this is all summer. We get it. They're going to transition. Some of them might not. You know, we'll have to see.
And this is, you know, the kind of cut that it is. It is a place where they could stick real easy.
Yeah. They totally could. There's everything that they need there. And if there are does bedded in there and they want to be away from the social pressure, there's plenty of room for them to get plenty far enough away from them.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a lot of pictures of does.
Nope.
I actually get them more up top where I have the cell camera. I've gotten a few pictures of bucks, good ones. A lot of them are at nighttime or at night. But a lot of the pictures that I get up there are like, is the opposite for every 5 to 7 images of doe's, I'll get a picture of a buck.
Right.
You know? And so what ended up happening was, is there's probably 5 shooters on that one camera alone. Mm-hmm. 2 of them, which look like for sure going to be over the 150 pushing the 160 class kind of range.
Easily pushing 160s.
Yeah. One has kickers off both G2s.
Yeah, and a lot of character.
Yeah. I mean, one has was that where we found the 11 point with the drop? Was it that camera?
There are 2 11 points, but that one was an 11 with a drop.
With a drop, yeah. And so, I mean, you know, it was just like we could have stopped then and been like, cool, let's go back to the trailer and drink coffee and hang out and talk about these bucks because it pretty much made my day.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's going to, and we started talking about how we might hunt that area too. And I think it's really plausible to hunt.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. And you've already talked to Tony about that area too. And about, you know, you've been on his podcast, you've been on yours and talked about like glassing from the road and that kind of thing. And I mean, well, we saw today, I don't know if we'd be able to glass cause it's gnarly, but
yeah,
I mean, definitely good strategies to hunt it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll say this. I think walking up on it, you had seen it more recently than me, but the area just had grown up. I mean, I was back, like I said, in May, so it was starting to green up, you know. I think it was early May, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But the growth was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To where, looking at it now, it's like, you know, maybe if you climbed a tree...
Yeah,
somewhere
you could
in it,
observe sit.
You could, you know, you could get up and you could glass, and that's really, I think, what my strategy will be for that is come back sometime, October-ish.
Yeah,
you know, and probably sit close to where that camera is, and just because that would seem to be a vantage point where you could see pretty well as well.
Yeah, it actually you could see pretty well from the actual camera site,
and because I mean I hang my cameras high, so I was able to get up off the ground a little bit and kind of. Yeah. Survey and look around. I was like, okay, I can see a fair amount here. And so this wouldn't be a bad spot to just come check the camera.
Yeah.
Park my butt in my saddle and just kind of observe for an evening to kind of get a better bead on what the deer are doing.
Yeah.
We have a pretty good sensor coming from the west toward the east.
Correct.
And from the north down.
Yeah. Everything's in a downward, like northwest.
All the movements down and west to east, essentially. Right. And not a lot of nighttime pictures on that camera.
Yeah, there was only one.
Yeah. So that was surprising as well, that we had as many that were...
And there was only one bear.
And there was only one bear. He was big. He was a big bear. But yeah, only one bear. But yeah, I think for this spot, it's going to be probably evenings to start. Just, I think what's going to be the hardest part is working the thermals in this particular spot.
Yeah, and... I mean, the nice thing is it was, if you have a good breeze, everything's going to be steady up there. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to have, like, swirling winds in that area at all.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, I mean.
There's no other face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The wind that was there today was consistent the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. So, you know, unless you're dealing with, like, no wind, it actually would be better hunt it with a little bit, I think.
I agree with you. And I think what we were kind of, as we were talking, as we were kind of walking around today, it seemed like to hunt that, you know, you're going to want, like you could almost hunt it on any wind except a southeast wind.
Yeah.
Because we kind of found how they were getting into that particular area, you know, because we actually, as we were scouting our way out, because there was another spot we wanted to scout,
mm-hmm.
and there was a change of habitat as you get kind of away from this area, you get into some, you know, it was a fair piece. I would say probably close to a mile. if I'm not mistaken when I tracked it before. And you know, you get into some diversity of habitat. So when we were kind of making our way to go scout that and check that out, you know, we use this way to kind of get out. And what we found was like, all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's a deer trail.
Yeah, there's
here.
Deer
like
trail cutting in.
They're clearly going through here.
Yep.
And so, which was a nice piece of data because it's like, okay, well, this is how they're getting in.
Right.
Right. Or they're coming straight in from the west, you know, moving east. And if that's the case, then, you know, I could probably get away with a rising thermal in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So long as I have just like a little bit of like a north wind ish.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think if you were going to try to kill one of those, I think what we were talking about too is like, you know, that old classic, if you're going to give the deer the wind, like you almost have to at some point to kill a good one.
Right.
And so it's going to have to be some type of easterly,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a northeast would be like the
perfect.
Yeah, man, you couldn't get any better than a northeast wind in that spot. Right. 'Cause where they're coming in and how they're coming in, that deer would have all the confidence in the world.
They wouldn't think twice.
No, not at all. And you can get away with hunting a couple other winds. Yeah, I just don't know that you would be as effective, but
right.
I need to go back and look at the trail camera images and see what the wind data is on it. And again, we know this is all summertime,
yep.
you know, late summer, you know, early September stuff that things can change, but one at least to have some groundwork to kind absolutely. Of work from.
And they have a lot of diversity close by. It's not like that's the only feature there. You know, there's water not very far away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's doe congregating areas close by as well. So it's not like, you know, they have plenty to, you know, make a triangle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was essentially that camera. And then we did a little scouting, which didn't turn up much. We made it all the way back to that, you know, that where the habitat gets a little bit more diverse. Yeah. And what we basically came away with was
random scrapes
in places that don't make a lot of sense, not really a stitch of deer sign, and you're going to have to basically hunt from your knees crawling.
Yep.
Essentially. But what it seemed like, we did find another old like two track as we went up the side of the mountain, you know, another like old logging road.
Right.
Who knows how old that logging road is, but they clearly were crossing it at a couple different points. And so yeah. It seems like an interesting feature.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And especially because it led down to other, it connected everything kind of, you know.
It did, you know, and so we could imagine like, you know, this, it was one of those things where it was, the good part was the way we kind of entered going to look at that, you know, that area of diversity and the way we came out weren't too far away necessarily on that old logging road to where we got to walk a lot of it as we were kind of going down to some other stuff that we wanted to check out to, you know, go grab some other cameras. And what we realized was that really up where we had crossed to make our way up into that other section of habitat was probably the best spot to set up. We could see where they were crossing it.
A huntable part of it. That was where it was.
And we saw some tracks on it as well, where we could tell where they were using it, you know, where like the leaves, where it was clear that there were deer walking it and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool. And so I think there's a couple different setups in that general area to hunt those same deer.
Agreed.
So anything else with that spot or?
I think we touched on everything for that one.
Yeah, I think we're good. And so then the next move was another camera I had set up. Now you guys had checked this back in.
Yeah, that was July, the one we checked in July.
And good deer on that. You know, two really good ones. There were two solid ones. We didn't really know what they might turn into as they went through the rest of the summer, but it was like two deer. We were like, okay, they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to be shooters.
Yep.
You know, we just didn't know to what extent. And, this one's kind of, you about busted your rear end and fell in some water. Like,
yeah, I did. Complete wet boots for the rest of the trip.
Yeah. So, and that was early in the day. So you had wet boots for most of the day. But yeah, we got back to this place and dude, the piles of bear crap were large.
We had the bear whistle going.
We did have the bear whistle going. Like that was the one spot where I was like, man,
large and fresh.
Yeah. I was like, if we're going to run into a bear, this would be the spot.
Yeah.
You know, cause there were some little bends where we were walking where you couldn't see around and
bears and rattlesnakes.
And we didn't see either today. So that was good.
It was good.
My snake boots worked. Yeah. You know, I figured if I wore them, we wouldn't see
any. They
warded
off the evil.
Yeah, exactly. but we got over to this area and this was an area that I had made a mock scrape and deer were checking it out early when we did the first camera pull.
Actually hitting it early. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was covered up now at this point. You know, we freshened it up when we got over there. And tell us what we found on that one, man.
Man, that was an exciting pull too. That second one didn't disappoint. And we kind of had a feeling because of having good ones.
Because we
on
had good ones
before.
There before. Yeah. I think what we wanted to know more than anything though was, are we getting, because we had seen those bucks so early on that camera that, and they weren't so grown in terms of antler development that we could tell who they were at that point. Right.
Right.
And so what, I won't say our concern, because the first camera we pulled had five shooters on it, two that are going to be
high on life the whole time walking through.
Yeah.
Yep.
But what I think both of us back in our minds, what we really didn't want to see was the same deer on that camera as well.
Right.
You know, because, yeah.
Then how do you figure them out?
Right. Not just that, but it's
I mean, those cameras are pretty far apart. They're
right
mile and a half, almost, probably almost two.
Yeah.
When you look at it.
Yeah, it's a fur piece.
Yeah.
But there's that one piece of area where that other camera was that wasn't working.
Right.
That we checked. You know, and so there's a couple things that kind of tie together. So it wouldn't be unforeseen to have them on both.
Right.
It would be a little out of the ordinary this time of year, I'd say, but it wouldn't be unimaginable, I guess.
Right.
Especially as we got later into summer, I wouldn't be surprised if one, as they started to split, they were like, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going over to this area.
Yeah.
You know? But talk about what was on that camera, man.
So that one was great. We had two shooters on that one too. Or was it three?
I think it was three, but two that were like...
Two that were real studs.
Yeah, like the way we're... just so people know like how we're classifying. Like when we say shooter, it's like anything that, you know, Aaron or I would pull back a bow on.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, if it's close to Pope and Young, around Pope and Young or bigger, like that would
be... And these two are definitely over.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just to qualify.
Yeah.
We didn't have very many bucks on cameras that we deemed shooters that were under 130 plus inches.
Correct.
Like, you know, so when we say shooter, there were a few here and there that we had that was like, that one's probably like 125, you know, ish or whatever. But on the smaller end, and I would say out of all the cameras we pulled, man, aside from the dinks that we had, you always get your run of like...
Yeah, there was plenty of those on both cameras.
Spikes and a forky and whatever. But...
Well, really, we only got a spike. That's...
Yeah, we only got spikes. Yeah, only spikes. Oh, we got one forky. We'll throw that out there. You know, but out of all the shooters that we have, that we've had on camera today, man, I would say that there's probably only maybe three that weren't like 130 or better.
Oh, yeah, easy.
You know what I mean? Like, I can only think of three off the top of my head, and they were all over at the other, other area.
So I'm actually this one did. It had three shooters on it.
Yeah.
So there was the two real big ones both had character. That 11 pointer you were talking about, flyers off the G2s, and one of them had a split brow tine. I mean, it just, and all daylight. Again, one picture of nighttime, picture of that one tall 8 pointer that we had on that.
And that one over there was an 11 point.
Yeah.
And then the other one I think was
it looked 10? It was a 9 or a 10 with a split brow tine.
Yeah. And we just so in full transparency, we literally were looking at these on card readers on our
phone. Yeah, we haven't actually looked at them on a computer yet.
Yeah, and I forgot my reader for that.
Review the images.
Yeah. We need to re-review them and kind of look to see. But point being is that we were looking at these on small screens, and it was, you know, they were no doubters.
Yeah.
You know? I was really excited about that pool. I was really curious about that area. I liked it when I hung that camera there. And whenever I did that, I think that was in May too. I just wasn't sure about that spot. I had, you know, and then when we got what we got in July, I was pretty stoked. And then when we went back today and checked it, you know, I kind of had in the back of my mind for that camera, I was like, you know, sometimes you get a really good pool early and then like whatever they're feeding on that's close by, they either, you know, they either eat all of it, you know, or whatever the case is.
Right.
And they move on to wherever the food's more prevalent. But I mean, it was similar to the previous pool, consistent daylight, big bucks. And I would say those two big ones probably right around the 150 plus would be my guess.
The one bummer for this camera was that batteries may have died in between and changed the date. They must have kicked back on at some point.
Yeah. Batteries died. So I forgot about that actually, because we didn't even get the full inventory, because we have no clue exactly when the camera died.
Nope.
You know?
Well, it died, I think it was like 6/18, because it had pictures of me rehanging it. Yeah, 7/18 me rehanging it, and then it, I don't know, it was like, they were dated for like January or something.
Yeah, it's weird, but I feel like there would have been, I feel like the pictures that it fritzed out on were like, and that it turned like the date to...
earlier on
to January were after that for whatever reason, just because because of the development of the antlers,
right? And they had to have been after that, like pretty far after that, because that was the brand new SD card I put in it when we pulled it last time.
So you know, that's the bummer about that, is we don't know exactly how many days we've missed as far as
these could be all August end of August pictures.
Yeah.
Where the batteries just decided to
yeah
kick back on.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll take it. We know there's big deer.
Yeah. We know that daylight pictures. You can actually kind of tell, too, like evening versus morning pictures on those. So
yep.
That's helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, directionally, we know kind of like where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and we understand what time of day it is, you know, for the most part, not down to the minute, but you know, it's mainly morning and evening. So they're not bedded too far away would be my guess. Again, we take all this with a grain of salt. 'Cause we know they could shift, like lots can change. You know, but just the fact that we're getting the amount. And the other cool thing that I like about this one, like this card pool, is that these deer were never together.
No.
Like in some of these other card pools we've had, you would get one or two bucks that were together hanging out. Which, it to me then becomes more likely that like okay they're gonna one of you is definitely leaving,
right?
If not both, you know.
Yeah, and we have to know they're pretty recent too, because the velvet's thinning out, and when we did get some hard horned on there, they were all as early as the second, I think.
Yeah.
And I think we did have some hard-horned. I can't remember for sure, but I think there was one or two hard-horned ones towards the end. I don't know if they were big ones or not, but
yeah, I think on that one there were like some
scrutzers.
Some dinks, you know, that went hard-horned. But that's a good point, because we can use that, because we know he was. I'll put it to you this way, man. If either of them had any more significant growing to do at that point, if it wasn't like the end of August at that point, then
that 11-pointer is going to be pushing like 170.
Yeah, he's
big.
He's a big deer. You know, and if he wasn't almost done and out of velvet, then Lord help us, because he was big. You know,
that'd be one to keep it together on.
Yeah, I probably have a hard time doing that. But all right, so that was that camera. So we were pretty jazzed at that point.
Oh yeah, we were definitely jazzed on that point.
Yeah, two card pools.
It's lunchtime.
Some of the biggest deer that I've had in this state, you know, like on camera, we'll have an opportunity to chase, just like, you know, like loving it.
And there's a lot of room to chase them.
Yeah, that's the one thing, right? I'm well aware that it's one thing to get them on camera. It's a whole other ball game trying to kill them, you know? And so, it's going to be a challenge, because this is just generally like a challenging place to hunt, and you know, but one thing I have that I will say is, you know, it, and then this is in talking to Tony and you and I have talked about this, and Tom, like, you know, just had these conversations with different guys who hunt big woods and stuff like that, and typically you need to just find deer.
Yep.
You know, and once you do that, like, there's a reason why they're kind of congregating in spots. You know, and then you just kind of branch off of that and figure out, well, okay, where are they going to move to? Because, you know, or how far are they going to move? Are they going to be really, you know, is it 2 miles or not? Or,
right.
And start to understand, like, you know, an area like this, and I could be completely wrong, you know, and I've talked to Tony and I've talked about this. I feel like in certain spots in big woods that sometimes I haven't seen the shifts always be like significant, I guess is one way to say it. Now, I have seen in some areas of the big woods that I've hunted where like this deer was like 2 miles away.
Right.
You know, when I say shift, I'm talking about where he went for his fall range, not like how far he has traveled during the rut.
Right.
Right. 'Cause you can get a deer that's 5 miles
never
away.
Stops.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm talking more about before he goes completely crazy and just starts walking and running every day, you know, how far away has he moved?
Right.
You know, and I would say, like, in the big woods pieces that I've hunted and run cameras on, like, I've always had a few bucks that I've had on each camera stick around.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they weren't, like, in a bachelor group and they weren't spending time together to begin with.
Right.
You know, the one spot in the Midwest I can think of, like, three deer specifically that I would get summer pictures of, and I would get them in the fall in the same spots.
Right.
You know, I would get them on scrapes, same spots. And maybe it's because I prioritize scrapes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That they become more of a hub, and so they're going to spend a little bit more time closer by. I don't know if that's the case or not. I could be completely BSing here. You know, I don't know. It's just I'm trying to think about how or why they might stick around an area.
Well, and it's probably the same way that people think about spokes on a wheel, you know, when they talk about that. And that's kind of what that camera is on. When you think about what it's on, it's kind of like probably the central hub for everything.
Yeah.
We're getting daylight pictures, so we're probably not there. The fringe areas probably aren't far away.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrain kind of lends itself to that, right?
Like, yeah.
We talked about that maybe like the upper third isn't a thing here.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
So if we're talking that these deer, it seems like the sign, everything about the sign, or not even sign, value of anything that is a third and above, there's nothing really of value there. It's just
for deer, for whitetail habitat.
Right,
yeah.
Right. A bear is great. Yeah, it'll be in there. But
yeah,
there's not a lot of cover or browse or any value in the vegetation that we find in the upper third. But when you get to halfway, it starts. And when you get to halfway, you find the sign. So, and it's part of being flexible as a hunter and not being like, oh, the absolute rule is hunt the upper third. Well, if it's not,
useful,
might not be the rule in your area.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Because one of those cameras, you know, on that mountain is kind of on that bench that's at that top third. And I'm getting bucks occasionally.
Yeah.
More does. And it makes sense. And the reason I set that camera there is because it was a bench, like this little kind of flat area. And I kind of knew, I was like, all right, it feels like deer are going to likely use this to travel. Right.
Right.
But it's a lot of nighttime pictures,
right?
You know, and they're spending all their daylight a little lower. And we were seeing that on a couple different cameras. Like we're seeing that on the one that we checked, you know, on the side of the mountain.
Yep.
We saw it, the one that's across the water.
Yep.
You know, that's low, you know,
yep.
And then we had other cameras that were further up that have been checked previously that like, sporadic deer, not very consistent and not the same caliber. Not
and almost never the same deer. Like these big ones that we're talking about, consistent. We got them 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Or morning and evening, 2 days in a row, something like that. You know, they're there.
Consistent.
And recognizable every day.
Yeah. Now, does that hold true as we go? I don't know. Again, this is, you know, we're new to this piece. So we're kind of learning this piece as we go.
And our main goal at the beginning of the year was just find where deer are.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's big. Like we've said in other podcasts, most of it, you could throw baseball in it.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal was to find where we're going to find a good concentration of deer that's huntable.
Yeah.
And we already knocked that
way ahead of the game as far as like what my expectation was.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, my expectation was blown from the first card pool, to be honest with you. Cause we set out, I don't know how many cameras, you know, between, let's just say you and I, and I know Tom set some out too. And I knew he was going to have some deer cam cause he's local or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's familiar, we'll say. But for you and I hanging cameras, I was like, if I just have a camera out of the, I don't know how many I have got here, however many it is,
or
something like that. I was like, if I have
between just you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, if I have just one between us that has a couple decent deer on and gives us a starting point for next year to like say, okay, well, why were these deer on camera? Like, why were they spending time here?
Right.
What's the reason they're here?
Right.
And then can we look at that and find that in other places?
Right.
You know, that was really the goal.
Yep.
We've gone from like that to like, okay, we kind of now understand like what we're looking for.
Right.
You know, and now we're getting to the point where it's like, I feel like we're starting to be able to dissect like what kind of like topographically speaking, like where do they want to spend their time?
Where they're preferring. Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because it's in all different areas. It's in like the one spot on the mountain. It's in steep stuff.
That's,
it's something Nathan Killen has talked about.
Very steep on that.
Yeah.
Coming down to that logging road. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that thing is steep, you know, and, but then like the, you know, people will tell you like, don't hunt the bottoms, but I think some of these bottoms are huntable and that's where a lot of the deer are at. Now we're not in like the complete bottoms, like some of the places where we are, it's swamp. So,
right. And you have to think about too, like, the reason people don't want to hunt a bottom is because I guess if you're teaching somebody new or whatever, the best thing would be like, hey, If you're checking out a new piece, start in the upper third. Mm-hmm. Hey, like that's making a base foundation.
Yeah.
So if you're in an area that's a bottom and you can figure out what those thermals are doing, what the wind is doing in that area, hunt it. Like,
yeah,
it might not be like every single time the wind is going to swirl in there.
Right.
And most of these places that we're finding in the bottoms that are huntable are pretty wide.
I was just going to say that, because when you get those narrow ones, that's where you get a lot of shiftiness.
Right, because everything's deflecting off stuff.
Yeah, it's hard. But here, just the way this area lays out,
yeah,
you don't get like what I would call like spine backs.
Correct.
You know, there's a place that I hunt in the Midwest, and that's what it all is. You've hunted it
yep.
as well.
Yep.
It's all spine backs, and it is... all the deer signs in the bottom.
Yep.
And you will never see a deer down there if you hunt it.
Yep.
Just because they're going to know you're there 3 years before you ever got there.
Yep.
You know, and you have to hunt the benches.
Yep.
Like, it's the only way to hunt a lot of that stuff in that area is hunt benches, or hunt kind of like benches that kind of connect different features together and stuff
right.
like that. This area is different. Whereas like you don't have, like you have some pretty severe or significant, like elevation changes.
Yeah.
But like you were saying earlier, like there's really only a sweet spot of where it's like habitable, where it's like where what deer want is there.
Right.
And then when you get into those bottoms, they're so wide.
Yep.
That it's like hunting a flat swamp.
Right.
Is like what it's exactly like how it hunts.
Right.
You know, because the other side of elevation is so far away
right.
from where you're probably going to set up.
Yep.
You're going to have a relatively consistent wind in that spot.
Absolutely.
You know, so, all right, so we've kind of beat that one up. We've pulled that one, killer card pull. We actually had a little bit of a drive for the next one, so we hopped in the truck,
yep.
drove over to the next spot, went and pulled one of my cameras that we had three really good deer on
yeah.
in, I guess, July.
Yeah, and then we had moved that for that card pull just because we had another camera close by that was also getting the same bucks.
Yeah, yeah. And so we went and checked that one. The bummer was, you know, there weren't any deer on it. We'll just put it that way. There was some hiking and some recreating, we'll say, that was going
that
on.
That was
this
surprising,
area.
Like, you know, the bushwhacking style.
Yeah, particularly where it was at, you know. But the way these folks were dressed and attire and the groups and stuff that came through, it's like they were clearly recreating. So
oh,
it wasn't
absolutely.
Like they were out.
Yeah.
They weren't out being mischievous or doing anything. They were just enjoying the outdoors.
Yep.
So the trail that we had seen and like the area that was kind of beaten down, clearly what we thought might be a game trail was not. That's a learning point for us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what we had seen historically, we don't see a lot of trails here.
Right.
You know, they're very, very subtle if there are. And then like they'll be defined for like 50 yards and then they'll just peter out and disappear.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you guys saw that and was like, oh, must be a game trail.
Yeah.
And
narrow.
Yeah. Put a camera on it.
Tracks on it.
Got one bear.
Yeah. One bear.
On it. I think one doe.
Two bears on it. Yeah.
Yeah, two bears actually. Yeah. And a couple does, you know, just
does.
not consistent at all, more sporadic.
And what was surprising is that trail was crisscrossed with actual deer trails.
Yes.
Where we thought like, oh, like
there was like a little ditch crossing
there, and which again wasn't used at all. Recently,
it was evident when you guys pulled it and moved
right,
the camera.
Yeah.
Today when we got there, it was like you would
nothing.
Never know that there was a ditch crossing
nope.
there because they're not using it right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So at some point they were probably there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that camera was a bust, which was a bummer because this was an area where we had a deer that was just super wide.
Yeah.
You know,
it was good information because that would have been an area we probably would have hunted.
Yeah.
Had we not known, like, oh, this is a place where people like to go.
Yeah, well, because the way it sets up, like, we walked in, I was like, dude, I'll hunt this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, the way it sets up and lays out, it looked killer.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we, basically, that card was, that camera was a bust, so we just pulled that, and I was like, we'll just redeploy that. And we actually just went and hung it where it was hung before.
Right.
On video mode this time. That was the one thing, too, I should mention. Like, I basically switched all my cameras over to video
yep.
mode for this, for a couple reasons. One, you know, especially when I'm learning a new area, I want to see like exactly how they're walking in. Cause look, you know, cameras don't always fire right away.
Right.
A deer could come in and turn. And if the camera didn't just pick him up just right or whatever, he
right.
could be facing the opposite direction he came in.
Right.
You know, so I like to run them on video mode as I get closer to the season. Cause I want to really see during the season, you know, how they move.
Yeah.
Essentially. And that's what we're going to kind of, you know, hopefully pick up from, you know, running. I think all the cameras, I changed the video mode except for one, or all mine, at least. I think there was one I left on photo mode.
Yeah. I don't remember which one that was either.
But anyway, there was a second buck. There was one that was a good buck, you know, that looked like he was going to be a shooter when we pulled that in July. Mainframe 8, you know, looked like he was probably going to be like a Pope and Young 8-point, just a really solid buck.
Right.
But there was one that we had out in the distance that and I didn't notice him at first when we did the first card pull. I had to zoom in and look. So I was like, man, is that a deer back there? And I looked and just, I've mentioned him on the pod. I think I've mentioned or referenced him on the podcast before. Just looked like the potential to be a mega freak.
Yeah.
Like where the frame he had in July,
the mass on his bases
was just like, huge. Good Lord. Yeah. You know, but anyway, we rehung that camera. And then there was another one that wasn't far from there. We thought, hey, let's go. It was actually our buddy's camera. Yep. And so, you know, the way we kind of worked, there's been three of us. We put out a ton of cameras.
Yep.
So when we're close to each other's cameras, you know, whoever happens to be up in the area,
yep,
we just tell each other, like, pull the camera.
Check them out.
Yeah. And or pull the card and
switch the card out.
Yeah. And just email the photos around.
Clean
so everybody
the bugs out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we went to check his camera and unfortunately it died. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working. So we replaced that with, I had an extra cam with me, so we replaced that over a scrape.
Yeah.
You know, and so fingers crossed that we get some of the, because I really thought a couple of those big deer were going to be on that camera.
Yeah, I did too.
Because this is a spot.
That was a bump. That was a bummer.
That was like our low point of the day because we had the camera before that was like moved to a killer spot that we thought was going to be awesome. Just nothing. We go up to this camera where we're like, well, at least there's a second camera not too far away from where we got the first set of pictures in July. Right. Let's see what we got there. We go check that one. It's not working. And we're like, the deer that we were most excited about checking in on.
We missed a whole month and a half of that guy.
Yeah. You know, so that was that. So then we were kind of like, all right, well, let's, you know, Aaron had a couple cameras that were all kind of close to this area too, not far away. Or when I say not far away, I mean on the same piece. So we were.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we had to drive to, we could hike to check those out. And so, yeah, let's talk about, you know, the camera pulls for yours.
Yeah. So we pulled that one and that this area where mine are is a real cool funnel, right? Mm-hmm. Like two different types of timber on both outside edges and different right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we should mention too, that this area at some point is clear cut here and there at, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe 5 or 6 years ago at some point they went
through. I would say probably five just because the two track stuff is still like bare dirt in
grassy,
a lot of places,
so. So this is kind of like the transition in between those two areas and
super killer spot. Yeah, super cool spot.
Super killer spot. And that camera didn't finally we did get some good ones on that one.
Yeah.
And I think there were two on that one at least and one that was like, I don't know. That deer might have been a 2.5-year-old or something close to that.
I think he was the youngest good deer that we had on camera. And when I say good deer, I mean, we've had some that were like 8 points that were like, you know, 125 or whatever. But they looked like they were all probably 3.5.
Yeah.
You know,
and this if you get him coming in hot and fast on a doe or something, he's probably going to get you excited, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But you could tell just like by his body, like the other ones that we saw were like borderline mature. So they were like, you know, I know, like, you know, if we're talking mature deer, we're talking 4+, and we had a ton of those today. Yeah. But, like, some of those smaller ones that we were saying are shooters.
Skinny, long legs.
Yeah. But a lot of them were probably in that 3.5-year-old category. This guy was clearly, like, when you looked at him immediately, you were like, okay, he just doesn't have the same body type as all the other deer we've been seeing.
Correct. Know? But hard-horned deer on that.
Yep. On the 2nd of September, I believe, if
the
I'm not mistaken.
The 2nd of September was where those came in. And the two bucks that we had on that were studs. They were happy find because we were after those two last two cameras. We're like, oh, is this gonna but that one turned out real well. And
we got a lot of pictures of them, but like
two
good bucks a couple different times.
Yeah, a couple different times, different days.
Yep.
Daylight
again. All daylight.
Yep. Yeah. There were some that were like right in the gray zone, but I couldn't have been happier with that camera pull either because it just, you know.
I can't remember exactly how big those ones were because we were getting toward the end of our day, so we were trying to flip through and get to the next camera.
I want
to
say they were easily Pope and Young.
Oh, my, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like I think the
one of them might have been pushing 130s, 140s.
I was thinking probably like, because they were both, if I'm not mistaken, 8 points.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And so the one was just super tall. And we think he might be the super wide one that we had earlier in the year because this deer was wide.
Yeah.
And he's just
we're going to have to look at those big again body too, because he
I know
really
you're saying 140 and like, you know, 30s to 40s. And I'm thinking back going like, man, I don't know. Like that one, and I think it wasn't even that 8 point. I think you're right with that eight.
Yeah,
I think
there was one that was probably a 10.
And that one was the one I was looking at going like, that's a big deer.
Yeah.
You know, and he looked, just his frame just looked significantly bigger than that 8 point.
And one cool thing about that spot is like, that is not a hard place to get to.
Easy hunt.
Yeah. I mean, probably if you get in a tree, you might be able to see the truck. I don't know, but
right. Yeah. Hey man, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, I always say, look, I'm not ashamed to hunt something that's easy access.
Yeah.
If the right deer are there, it's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, it had all the right stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's got the cover, it's got a lot of different food. And again, it's got two pieces that were clear cut on either side of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little distant, but not edible for a deer, you know?
Yeah.
So really happy with that card pool. So we left that one there.
Yep.
We left that on photo mode. I just left it there.
Yeah, that one stayed in photo mode. Yeah. Yeah. And then we had a real easy time finding the next one.
Oh boy.
Aaron,
if there's a good tip, if you forget to mark something and you're close, just go back.
Yeah.
Just go back.
So my guy here forgot to mark this camera when he said it, and he just waylaid a pin down on his walk out.
Turn around, point the Onyx in the right direction, and just lay a pin.
Yeah.
Not a good
strategy. No. And then wrote close to hemlock.
Yeah.
You know, and so
that was Tom's idea.
We're gonna throw that one on Tom. And so
it's probably good he did, because that's what I was looking for.
Right. But it took us a while to find that one. And like, you actually went on a wild goose chase, because I was like, I don't know that you know where it's at. So you were like, I'm going to walk through the middle of this swamp.
You gave up on me.
You're like, I'm going to walk through the middle of this like rattlesnake swamp. I was like, yeah, man, I'll just wait on this log and run for you. For you to come back.
I found it.
Yeah, you did.
I found it.
You did. And what, I can't remember what was on that.
There wasn't much on that.
Yeah, I was going to say one hardhorn buck, I think a young one.
Like, yeah, we had that one young 8-pointer on like 8 times.
Yeah, and we were like,
Couple bears.
But that 8-pointer, we were like, next year he'd be a looker.
He's going to be a looker for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of does, a couple does on that one.
We did have a couple does on that one. Yeah. But
the problem is there was a lot of false triggers from the vegetation that was.
That's the hard part around those types of places like that, where it's like, you know, it's good. Like the deer sign's there. I think on the camera prior to that, we got lucky just because there's so much canopy.
Yeah.
That the sun doesn't really get through a whole lot in that area.
It was dark
there. Yeah. So it was to, or at least the way the camera was pointed.
Right. And the camera on that one was actually like eye level to deer. It wasn't pointed down into the vegetation like this one was.
Yeah.
So you had everything go out across. So that was a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to put the cameras where the deer are, and they're.
I always, I mean, I try to, you know, pay attention. I try not to point them east or west because I don't want the rising or setting, you know, sun to like, you know, give me a bunch of glare or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm going to work with whatever tree I got, and wherever the deer are going to be, I'll live with whatever I get aside from that.
So we pulled that camera.
Yeah. That one was, it's got to go. Like, it just wasn't a great spot. And it's one of those things where, man, again, like you swing and you miss on some of them.
It was worth a try. Yeah.
And then we had one.
And
more
oddly
camera.
Enough, though, that wasn't that far from that other camera. So I was kind of surprised that
I was too.
Some of those didn't go by there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not like they couldn't have. Mm-hmm. Maybe it just didn't pick it up. Maybe they were cruising through there. What, you never know.
Or they skirted it. They went behind it. Or whatever the case is. But I think what it said was, is they're not spending a lot of time down in that particular area. They're spending more time just like a little further up.
Yeah,
is when they're
tucked in a little bit better.
Yeah. Because this was just a little bit more out in the open, you know. And it would be great now, but I know when I was there in the winter scouting, that is like...
Open.
Oh, yeah, like wide open.
Well, and the other thing to say is the one food source that was in there seems to be mostly depleted.
Yeah.
So...
And it could have been in there earlier, but...
Right. Summertime food, it seems like, you know, maybe it was getting down to the end of it when I hung the camera.
Right. Because we did notice, like, all the blueberries that were in there before were gone.
Gone.
You know? So, all right. So, we had one more camera to pull. And at this point, we were like, we were reminding ourselves of the good card pulls we had.
Yeah. Because we were getting a little on the...
Well, because we had such high hopes for this particular area. And we had a couple good deer on that one camera of yours. But we were looking for, like, this to be, like, the home run.
Yeah.
You know, like, which... was a little unreal. We were
looking for every card pull to be that card pull.
Yeah. And which was a little unrealistic considering the first one we had of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that you're going to get... I've never had a card pull better than that ever. Like, anywhere.
No.
To be honest.
I mean, I've had, my stuff locally this year is probably the best card pulls I've ever had because, I mean, we're having...
we have aggregate. Good,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
And they're big on all of them.
Yeah.
But we have those cameras in tight. These cameras here are pretty spread out.
All over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And... that one had five deer that were like
toads,
hammers,
toads,
you know what I mean? So, yeah. All right. So we're moving on to the last camera. This one, you just took a flyer on this and it was,
I did. It was like
the best camera hangs are just flyers,
right? Because
you don't overthink it.
Right. Just like you said earlier, looking for where the deer congregate, right? Well, if they congregate, they congregate there. I mean, there were a lot of deer on that camera.
Yeah.
And most of them were does.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a camera that I was just following a train feature and ran across something that
looked like a scrape.
Right. Everything here is like, is it a scrape? Is it not a scrape? I mean, you have to look for a licking branch.
You have
right?
to, yeah.
And there was something that kind of looks like a licking branch. I think it's a scrape, or it was at some point. I don't know. But it was like I want to get a camera up before I gotta get on out of here.
Same way I hung that one we got the bunch of big deer on. It was just like a last minute.
Yeah, and that one didn't disappoint. I mean,
no.
There were easily over, well, there were like almost 400 pictures on there, and almost every picture had a doe on it.
Yeah, and that was the one thing, because it was funny. Like, well, I'll do like foreshadowing here. We're flipping through it, and we both were kind of feeling like, you know,
yeah,
like, man, because we had such high hopes for the other spot that we just kind of left. Yeah. This spot is really close. It's just it's a hike away, and it's not that far as the crow flies.
Yeah,
and so since we were somewhat disappointed by the other, which we shouldn't have been, because there was two really big deer in that area. So it's like, you know,
we'll get excited later when we re-review everything. Yeah, we'll be a little more excited.
And so when we got over to this spot, you know, we're flipping through and we see all these does, you know, and I know we're both feeling like, oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Like, can't we just get one more good buck, you know?
One more.
Yeah. And I was just like, well, hey man, you know, I'm like, you know, we're getting does like almost daily.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And groups of does.
And groups of them. Yeah. And it's a smattering of like daylight, night.
Yeah.
Early morning. So it's all kind of all over. Yep. And this is not far off of a relatively new cut as well. And then we saw a porcupine come into that scrape. Porcupine. And so we thought that was just like a marking like that was made by a porcupine coming in, you know, looking for grub or
just
whatever.
Rummaging, yeah.
And then we started seeing some does hit that licking branch.
Yeah.
So then it was like, okay, your thought was correct.
Right.
What you saw was in fact a licking branch.
Right.
You know, how often are they using it? We don't know.
Right.
You know, so we're like, all right, so that's positive. Right. Yep. So I was like, because it's like if there's does hitting it, it's close to a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, there are going to be bucks here. It's just a matter of, like, when does that happen?
And it would make sense for that to be a good place to travel with the way the 100%. Train was there.
Yeah, 100%. And then?
And then it happened. We got him.
We got him.
We got him. That deer's big.
That's a big
he's
deer.
A big buck. And he's an 8, right? Or was he a 9?
I don't remember, man.
We have to look back. There's too much.
But poor us. We've seen so many big buck pictures today. Like, we can't. Bummer. Yeah.
He's big.
Yeah.
If
he's an 8, he's the biggest 8 we have on camera.
Yeah. And maybe we have to look at all the pictures, but there's a good chance. There's a chance that he could be that wide buck from the distance.
Yeah.
But he's big. I mean, and we were hoping if it is that buck, we were kind of hoping for some tine length, and he has it. So
yeah, and he put it on.
Yeah. And it's, you know, some nighttime pictures, and you put on a good display, hit the licking branch.
That was the thing that I got most excited about. I was like, all right, you know, and I want to go back and look at the dates on a lot of these pictures.
Yeah.
Because especially that one, because he just out of nowhere showed up and he spent some time in that scrape. He hit the licking branch a couple times.
Yeah.
I didn't see a picture where he was taking a piss in it, but Maybe he didn't.
I mean, there were like 10 pictures of it too.
And it could have been in between triggers or whatever the case is, but
right.
It just, I want to see what the dates are because that felt very familiar to like some of the things that Chad and I have talked
that
about.
That was
where,
middle of August, if I remember.
And that's about the time where like a buck will kind of make a little excursion to where their fall ranges are going to be. Right. And that's why I was curious. And I think we should have looked at the dates when we were looking, the second week
in August, if I'm not mistaken.
Because that like 18th to 22nd is like that time frame you kind of look at. And I want to go back and I actually want to go back and look at all the pictures and see.
Yeah.
Are there new bucks? Because we had that happen on the first camera pool we did with all the big deer on it.
Yeah.
That there was just randomly all of a sudden like a new one showed up. And I think he showed up a couple times, but it was like we got all these other ones consistently.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it was like, oh, there's a new big buck and he's going to show up a couple different times.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to go back and I want to look and see what that date was that that happened.
Yeah.
You know, because that might start to indicate
what's moving in.
What's moving into the area. It doesn't necessarily indicate what's moving out, but it can certainly help indicate what might be moving in.
Right.
You know, so. And that was the last card pool, man. That was a good way to end it. We both kind of ended on a high note, you know, feeling good about.
Yeah.
I mean, we should have felt good regardless, but it was just a nice way to end where it was
I mean, we have 10 that we probably would shoot and 8 that are shooters.
Like. Like big deer,
130s and higher, 130s to pushing 160s.
Yeah,
so
yeah, not a bad haul.
It was a good day.
It was a good, like Ice Cube said. I think it was Ice Cube. I gotta say, it was a good day.
Yeah,
didn't even have to use my AK. You know, but now we're sitting in the trailer. We're sipping a little coffee, and I think we're gonna pack up the trailer and head home. We're gonna take a closer look at some of these pictures. And, you know, start making plans. I'll start hunting on the 18th of September locally. And then, you know, we'll wait for the opener for October to get up here. And I'm chomping at the bit to get back up here now. Like, I don't have a whole lot at home right now, on camera at least. You know, that could change, of course. But now I'm kind of almost of the mind where I'm like, you know what? I don't even care.
Yeah.
I did the test run when I got here last night, hooked up like internet in my camper. So like, I did a practice Zoom call with my wife just to make sure my Zoom worked for work. So it's like I can fully like live and work here if I need to and chase big deer. So
perfect.
That's my plan. Well, hey man, thanks for meeting me up here, dude. You're always down for a scout and a camera pool. So
thanks,
I appreciate
for the hang,
that,
buddy.
Yeah, man. It's always good to spend some time with you. Always killer to find some big deer. And thank you all for listening. We're gonna over and out.
Take it easy.
If you're gonna take it easy.
All right, folks, that is a wrap for today's show. I'd like to thank all of you for listening, and if you haven't yet, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And while you're at it, head over to YouTube and give us a sub there too. I'd be super appreciative if you do those couple things for me. But before I shut this thing down, I need to give a big shout out to our partners who continue to help us make this podcast possible: Tether, Spartan Forge, Exodus Outdoor Gear, Skull Brew Coffee Company, and Maven Optics. And until next time, we'll see y'all.
All right, gang, the new Truth merch is in stock at truthfromthestand.com and on YouTube below any of the Truth from the Stand videos. I've got some new hats, beanies, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, and sweatshirts. There's even a new do hard shit hat for those of us who like to embrace micro dosing adversity. So head to truthfromthestand.com and check out the new gear and use the code TRUTH, TRUTH, and save yourself some cash on the new gear.